coming, and she was gone.
Reality perception.
That's how it is. He had a dream. He went out and did something different, and he was ready to tell his friends, I got it by dreaming.
What I'm inviting you to do is to use your dreaming to achieve some new stuff. And if he didn't do it with dreaming and you do, that's great. See? The stories don't have to be true. They have to energize us to try some new techniques.
Well, it's nice that they're true because that gives us more faith in doing it and more reason to try.
Yeah. The common thread I hear is thinking more broadly, essentially, and thinking that extends perhaps past the borders of your customary field of work. And most of the other things I would attribute not to intuition, but rather to somehow thinking a bit more broadly about the field.
Okay, let me see if I got what you're saying. That there's something called intuition, but our examples are talking about something else.
That's really been the deal.
All right. I'm not uncomfortable with your approach. It's kind of hard to rewrite the course and use different words than intuition. I used the broadest word I could for the set of examples. The real value of what we're doing is look at the examples of successful people, doing the things that they did, whether they were intentional or unintentional at the time, but doing them intentionally now, and attempting to get similarly successful people. It's been so successful in my own life that I'm offering it to others as a way to, as you would put it, broaden thinking beyond the usual limits. Maybe we should call this a course in broadening thinking beyond the usual limits. I don't care what we call it. What I care about is we do some things to get results. So Elias Howe had been frustrated for many years by his failure to perfect the sewing machine. One night he dreamed he'd been captured by savages and dragged before their king. The king issued a royal ultimatum. If the town did not produce a machine that could sew within 24 hours, he would die by the spear. Howe failed to meet the deadline and saw the savages approaching. You know the end of the story? The spear slowly rose and then started to descend. Howe forgot his spear as he noticed that the spears all had eye-shaped holes in their tips. He awakened and realized that the eye of the sewing machine needle should be near the point and not at the top or in the middle. Rushing to his lab, he fired the needle to the proper size, filled a hole near its tip, and inserted his machine. It worked well and the problem was solved.
Now, I don't care whether he's lying or not.
You see? There's an awful lot of them, and I don't think they're all lying. It's going to be relatively cheap for me to use dreaming, which I did four times a night, to solve some of my problems. If it doesn't work, I haven't spent much. If it does work, I may make the breakthrough that I never could before. Louis Gazis, the naturalist, was attempting to transfer the image of a fossilized fish from the stuff, but the image was blurred. A few nights after he abandoned the project, he dreamed he saw the entire fossilized fish. The next morning, he hurried to the lab, and the image was as obscure as ever. The next night, the dream returned. Again, he examined the slab the following morning, but the vague image was unchanged. Hoping to have a dream a third time, his name is persistent, he put a pencil and paper by his bed. When the dream returned, he drew the image. He was surprised the next morning by the detail he had produced in total darkness. In his lab, he used the drawing as a guide and slowly began to chisel the slab. As a layer of stone fell away, he found the fossil in excellent condition, identical to the image he'd seen in the dream. The result, not only is that he got the image, you know? The method is he kept working on the dream aspect. If you want to try and explain it, that's your business. I don't want to try and explain it. I want the image. I want the result. So I'm going to use the dreaming technique that's been successful for these people. Niels Bohr had a vivid dream. He saw himself as a sun composed of burning gas. The planets whistled as they passed by him in their revolutions around the sun, to which they were attached by thin filaments. Suddenly, the burning gas cooled and solidified. The sun and planets crumbled away. When Bohr awakened, he realized that he conceived the model of an atom. He doesn't say he conceived it working at the desk, you know. rationally. You could say, well, he really did. Well, he thinks the dream helped him, so I think it's worthwhile in adding the dream technique to that which we otherwise use. So notice the nonverbal information obtained. The raindrops felt unusually heavy. They didn't feel like hail, you know, and we had that experience. And he might have woken up and said, I was in a hailstorm in the dream, and let it go at that. The spear with the eye and the tip was new. The outline of the fish, the planets on filaments, okay? The results do not have to be verbal, they can be images. Here's some more examples from industry and science, okay? Where's the sheet on this? Goodyear worked for years on a process for the vulcanization of rubber. Success came when he dreamed of a man who told him to try adding sulfur. There's already one person here in one of the rooms that was open this morning met a person who spoke to him. Didn't recognize the face. I don't know what was said, but this can happen. In a dream, Alfred Werner had an insight which led to the foundation of coordination chemistry. About Descartes, 10th of November 1619, we have the date. Descartes had a very vivid dream in which he saw a way to combine mathematics and philosophy into a new discipline. Newton says he solved problems in dreams. Rosenthal, who was working with Edison, struggled for over a year to modify the composition of waxes into phonographic cylinders. This worker found no let up in his concentration. Thoughts of waxing softening characteristics came in his sleep. Eventually, he succeeded in obtaining the desired properties. Matthias invented many superconductors in his sleep. St. Georgi, or however you pronounce that, I'm not sure. When asked where his research ideas came from, he replied, quote, in my bed and when waking between 3 and 4 a.m. or while sleeping. He says, the brain does a great deal of unconscious work without our ever knowing it, and that's how most of our great problems are solved. Okay? What do I get from this? I personally don't think they were all lying or off the track. I think they're confident guys, and they're trying to tell us something useful. So let's look at dreaming. Why is it so effective? Well, I think it's because the preparation is fairly automatic. Sleep is an automatic release somehow from rational thinking. And that's a break. I don't think we have to wait to go to sleep. In fact, this morning, I was helping to release you from rational thinking by picturing your papers and books that related to your problem put away on the shelf, and you walked away from that office and went to a different place down the hall. That was a way to release you while awake from rational thinking. In dreaming, you get it kind of automatically. What about attention? There are very few distractions while you're asleep. I think that's why it works for people. Do you say you never dream? Well, the data, as far as we can tell, says that people dream about 4 times a night, whether they think so or not. We can go into that, but I'll not present that evidence. So you give yourself more credit than you do. Have you ever been a pro?
I expect I'm going to hear from you. Rather than I pick up the phone, and you can hear the long distance. So I say, my Lord, how in the hell did you do that again? I've done it over and over again.
He's calling you.
Also, hi, George, is pretty strange. And if he was going to give the lecture you're giving now, I'd be one of his examples.
Because, what kind of percentage is involved with that? How many people have you said, hi, George, to have been wrong, and how many times have you said, hi, George, to
So
that's just a minute, you guys. What did he say? He's been right more often than wrong.
Yeah, but if George is the only guy that calls him, that doesn't mean a thing.
Well, if George is the only guy that calls him, is that right, George?
No, that's right.
Now, I had one person say to me in last class of this, yeah, my mother calls me at 10 o'clock. If it's a phone call at 10 o'clock, I know it's her.
Structured life.
Okay. The ones that you can account for by logic, account for by logic. It's when it's 10 o'clock and you decide it's not mother, and you're right. It's now, if you want to go at it rationally, I'll give you tables so you can test the probability of success. I'll tell you how to write confidence limits and make a test. Okay, that's my business, all right? By all means, do it. I don't recommend it. That's not what I'm after. You see, you guys suckered right into
rationally analyzing the prediction of phone calls. That's not what the exercise is for. The exercise is to tune you up and juice you up to receiving stuff. How? In a state of altered reality perception. You just said, I'm going to turn you down on this game. And I said, the game pays off. Why don't you play it? What happened? Take the point of view that maybe I can be right more often than wrong, but I can't figure out who I was on there just by letting it come through me. Just pop off the name, okay? It creates a mood in your life that allows new stuff to come through for altered realities. It's not important to be right about who's on the phone. You're going to know anyway as soon as you answer it. What's important is to develop this mood. And then what is useful in your work is what comes down the pike, not over the telephone because you guess somebody's name right, but because you've made a practice privately of allowing a new reality to be practiced. Okay, you see that? Pretty hard, isn't it? With all the training, be tough-minded. Listen, if I could only get people to use statistics to throw out coincidence and only say the stuff that's really repeatable, you know, I'd be performing a real function for industry. I have real trouble getting people to use statistical tests to decide what's dependable. I think you should. If you really want to know whether I or you or anyone else can predict who's on the phone, we'll set up the experiment, okay? And we'll have certain thousand people call you at certain randomized times, you know, and we'll see what we do, okay? But that's not, I'm totally uninterested in that. I'm totally uninterested in proving you can or you can't. I'm interested in setting up a mood which you're ready to try and alter the reality. It's like opening up channels for things to happen. A low percentage of success, I think is perfectly all right. High percentage is all right. You'll get better at it, I suspect, but I don't think you need to do it. Preparation, you can ask your friends to focus on you if you want to. Don't go too far until I feedback and make sure I'm with you. The paranormal thing you're talking about is you're saying it's paranormal to be able to see into the future. But do I understand your words? Until somebody is turned off by the idea that we might attempt something that has not been established through competitive experiment to be explainable by scientific method. Now, okay, my understanding then is you don't want to spend time on this because you feel your time is better spent somewhere else. But this one you claim is different from the others that we've had up to this point. The others did seem to be expansions that would be useful. Okay, let me see if I can get that. The concept, well, one part is, do you believe that people can get information from the future now? But let's get past that for the moment. Say, if you found out that you could get some information from the future now, would you feel it really relates to problem solving?
Be a hell of a deal.
Okay, we're that far. So the difficulty right now is...
obviously it would be.
Okay. Well, I thought it was obvious too, but it seemed I had to check, okay? Now, so far then, if we can get information from the future now, that could be great to get the right stuff. So the question is, can you get it at all? Okay. I've made the suggestion that if we try for it, we might be able to get it. Glenn's point is those examples don't seem to be related to us trying for it, I think. Yeah. So what I'd like you to do is hang in there. Exercise 7 is about to begin. And relax. The difficulty you have with it, Glenn, and anybody else, long enough to spend a 10-minute exercise on going for it. Let's take a break. To go for it because of the potential result, not because we believe in it. Now I claim that's a tough thing to do. That's why I spend a lot of time on altered reality. And I find I can do it better and better. People laugh. I say, I'm going in the future. Have a look. people laugh. But go ahead and laugh. If I find something, I'll get the last laugh. If I don't find anything, I'll